I want to read the first six verses of this psalm. Still on the subject of praise, you notice all of these last few psalms have been about praise. This one is no different. Psalm 148 starts with "Praise you, the Lord." Last few have been about "Praise you, the Lord." Psalm 149 starts with "Praise you, the Lord." Psalm 150 starts with "Praise you, the Lord." It's all about praising. So if God has, Psalm 146 started with "Praise you, the Lord." If God has put this many chapters in the Bible about praising the Lord, then it must be an important subject. It must be something that we need to pay attention to and that we should include in our lives. It should be something that's very important in our Christian life is to praise the Lord. And so I'm glad that we get to look at it tonight. I'm glad for what the Lord has done through this study of the Psalms. It's been almost 2 years since we started in Psalms, and I'm going to finish it up here in a few weeks. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this evening. Lord, we come with thankful hearts for all that you've given to us and blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for being able to assemble together and to look into your word. We thank you for your wonderful grace that you've given to us and how you've watched over us and just looked after us. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would be with us for these next few moments to help us to glean something from your word so that we might be changed and that you might be glorified most of all. Father, this is what we are seeking most of all, is that you would receive all of the honor and the glory and the praise, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 147, we'll read the first six verses. The psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." Verse number one says that praise is comely to our Lord. Praise is comely. We're going to say that praise is comely. That means that it is fitting, that it is beautiful, that it is proper, that it is something that should be included in the Christian life, in the child of every believer. It ought to be something that we ought to do. And I entitled the message, "The Beauty of Praise." The beauty of praise. You know, there's a lot of things that just do not go together. You think about things that they just don't mix. Think about oil and water. Well, they really don't mix. You try to put those two things together and, you know, you're just going to have a big mess on your hands. Oil and water do not mix. You don't think of, "Well, I think that I will mix this bucket of water and this gallon of oil." Nobody does that. How about orange and toothpaste? Orange juice and toothpaste. Have you ever brushed your teeth and then took a drink of orange juice? Doesn't that taste good? I just love it. Yeah, that aftertaste that you get after you drink that orange juice and toothpaste. No, orange juice and toothpaste doesn't go together. No one likes that. How about polka dots and stripes? Don't anybody ever walk into church with polka dots and stripes on. Those things don't go together. There's some things that do go together, though. Some things do. How about peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Who was the guy who invented that anyway? Who was the guy who thought about that? You know, I think that peanut butter and jelly would probably go good together. And voila, it's true. It goes great together. How about hamburgers and french fries? Now, who was the wise guy who was sitting around eating a hamburger and says, "You know what, maybe if we slice up some potatoes and deep fry them and put a little salt on them and have some ketchup with those, man, that would go good together." But they thought about that. It's just perfect things. How about eggs and bacon? Man, you have eggs and bacon in the morning, it's just the perfect thing that go good together. Man, some things, they just go good together. They're just a match made in heaven. They complement each other perfectly. And it's just like they were made for one another. The same way with our text here this morning or this evening. Our text this morning says that some things, they really go good together. They really complement one another. They really are beautiful together. It's praise to the Lord from His creation. It says in verse number 1, He says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely." Well, the perfect match made in heaven is for the creation of God to praise the creator, the one who made everything. It is beautiful. It is fitting. It fits together just like a hand in a glove. It is for the creatures to then praise the creator. Why should we praise God? We should praise God for His abundant and powerful grace to His people. That's why we should praise the Lord. And everything that you read in this chapter is an act of grace from the God of the universe to you and to I here today. We read about how God builds up Jerusalem and He gathers His people together in this chapter. An act of the grace of God. God heals the brokenhearted. God counts and names all of the stars. God lifts up the meek and casts down the wicked to the ground. God covers the heavens with a cloud and He sends out rain. He feeds the animals and the birds. Those are all acts of grace from God on our behalf to His creation. The reason that you and I can live in this earth and live and breathe is because of the grace of God. It's the unmerited favor of God on our behalf. We don't deserve any of the things that we have. God has given them to us free and clear. And the grace of God accomplishes so much for His people. We should praise God every day. But in contrast to that, it is very awkward and it is very ugly for the creation not to praise God, to withhold that praise from God. And there's plenty of people like that. They go throughout their day and they do not praise God. They do not recognize the blessings that God has given to them. They deny His grace and His goodness to them. The book of Revelation speaks about a group of people who have refused to give God the glory and the praise in everything. It's an ugly sight. Read about that in Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 9. The Bible says that they were scorched with great heat. God was trying to drive them to repentance and drive them to praise to Him, and they did not do it. They refused to give glory to God. It's an ugly thing. You and I ought to be engaged in praising God in everything because it is a beautiful thing because of the grace of God that He has given to us. Tonight I want to give you three reasons why it is beautiful to praise God for His grace. Number one, grace builds up, grace binds up, and grace lifts up. That's why we ought to praise the Lord. Number one, grace builds up. We see this in verse number 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. Do you recognize tonight that your God is a great builder? Boy, He builds things. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and He was a builder as well. But our God the Father is a builder. And the Bible says that He built up this great city by His powerful grace. What is Jerusalem, or what was Jerusalem? Well, in the Old Testament, it was a city of holiness. It was a special city that God had handpicked. And He says, I am going to place My name there. I am going to make that place a special place. And I'm going to call it holy and make it sanctified and set apart as My special city. Whenever Abraham was standing before the burning bush there, he told Moses, he said, take off your shoes off your feet, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. God is going to build this city. It's a city of worship and praise. Jerusalem is where they would worship God and they would make sacrifices and they would worship Him. God was building that city. Redemption was found in Jerusalem. The presence of God was found in Jerusalem. God founded this city, Jerusalem, by His grace. It's going to be a light and a testimony to the rest of the nations. Going to witness about the one true God, the one God, Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." That would be Jerusalem. He said, "You're going to be a light to the rest of the world, and I am building up this city for a special purpose. It is a city of peace." Jerusalem is called, or the name Jerusalem means city of peace, and that's what it was. So how was God going to build this place up? Well, he was going to gather all the outcasts, the Bible says, together. He was building it up numerically, politically, spiritually, all of these things. He set David on the throne, made Jerusalem a great city, superpower in the world at that time, made it a great kingdom by his grace. And God is a great builder this evening. If you and I have a family here tonight, you got children, you got a wife, you got kids, do you know that God's a great builder? He's given you all of the kids that you have. He's given you the finances. He's given you your home. He's given you health. He's given you all of that. Why? Because God is a great builder, and God is still building a people for himself. He's still building up a body of Christ this evening. He's still a great architect and a great builder. He's building up a household, and he's bringing sinners to himself, and he's building it up. You and I are the temple of God here tonight. Our bodies is where God dwells. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's still building things. He's still working on us. Why, I'm thankful here tonight that he hasn't left me alone. I'm still growing by his grace. I'm never going to reach the pinnacle until I get to heaven. One of these days I'm going to pass over and I'm going to get to glory. And man, I'm going to be able to look back and say, look what God did. Look at his great work that he did with his hands. And his great, powerful grace and how he worked in my life, in the life of people that I know. Man, I can look at myself just a few years back and I've come this far. And I can look back and say, it was only by God's grace that he built that. Boy, what a great builder that God is. But the Bible says that he is still building a household for himself. We are seated together with him in heavenly places, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2. He's still gathering sinners and outcasts, and he builds us up by his grace. We are built up in Christ, says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." How are we going to be established in the faith and built up? It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our preaching and our singing needs to be Christ-centered, centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word of grace that will build us up and give us an inheritance among them which are sanctified. It says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. So we are now the habitation of God, and God is building us. Is he working in your life tonight? Is he gathering you to himself? You were once an outcast and a sinner, but yet God, by his grace, brought you to himself. God, the great builder. His building capacities and capabilities knows no limits. There's nothing that he cannot do. Are you involved in the work this evening? Now, God is bringing people to himself. Are you and I engaged in preaching the gospel and telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because no one comes to Jesus Christ apart from the gospel and apart from the preaching of the gospel. Will you be one here tonight that spreads the gospel and so that God will use you to bring others to himself? Because God uses us. God uses our voice, our talents, our lives to build his house. Will you be involved in building in other people's lives? God is a great builder. That's one reason that we can praise him this evening. We thank God for his grace. But grace not only builds up, but number two, grace binds up. We see that in verse number 3. It says, "He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds." Do you realize that God is a great mender this evening? Boy, people have broken hearts and broken lives, and they have things that are messed up in their lives, but it's nothing that the grace of God can't fix. It's nothing that the grace of God can't mend. The beauty of praising God for His grace is the fact that the grace of God heals the brokenhearted. God is not distant and disconnected from our heartaches and our fears. He knows all about the things that we are going to, and He is very close to the brokenhearted this evening. It says in Psalm 51 and verse number 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." God puts things back together. Amen. You ever break anything in your life? I can remember several times. I'm a great breaker myself. I remember one time whenever I was a child, I liked to play with gingerbread men. This was when I was really young, all right? This wasn't when I was a teenager. I liked to play with gingerbread men. My mom used to like to make these little clay gingerbread men. I thought, man, that looks like fun. I want to go out and play with those. And I go out and play with it, and I guess I got a little bit rough with that. And I would break the gingerbread man. I'd go back to mom and say, "Mom, I broke the gingerbread man. Can you give me another one?" And she did for a couple of times. But after a while, she said, "You can't have any more. You can't have any more of those gingerbread men." Why? Because I kept breaking them. You ever break something in your life? I remember breaking my mom and dad's new van they just paid off. 1984 two-tone brown Chevy van. Why? I was good at breaking things. But you know what I wasn't too good at mending things. I wasn't too good at putting things back together. And each and every time, well, for the van, I was not a body man, so I couldn't fix the body on the van. I had to take it to my father-in-law, who's now passed away. And he was a body man. He could put things back together, make it look brand new. My mom had to put the gingerbread men back together, but I couldn't do it. Do you know our hearts get broken sometimes? Our lives get broken sometimes. And we think, how in the world are we going to put this stuff back together? Because this isn't right. This isn't how life is supposed to be. What am I going to do about this? Sometimes, you know, we can't do anything about it. Sometimes we can't put things back together. And we have to trust in the powerful mending grace of God to put those things back together. Maybe you got a wayward son or a wayward daughter or someone that you care about that's going astray and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to mend it. You wish that they would come back, but they don't come back. You think about David and his son Absalom. Now, David loved his son Absalom. David wanted him to do right, but David was just a rascal, man. Absalom was no good. Grew his hair out long, big-time rebel. He's going to form a conspiracy against his dad. He's going to go against his dad. As a matter of fact, he went to war against him. And David said, they're going to go to war against him. And David said, you be careful with my son Absalom. I don't want him to die. I want you to take him alive. And they found Absalom swinging from a tree in his long hair. And there's Joab, and he says, I'm not going to spare this guy. Threw three darts through his heart. Killed him. And then David found out about that. And you talk about having a broken heart. You read those words, it's 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 33. He said, oh, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee. He had a broken heart. There was nothing that he could do about it. Boy, we weep and we hurt for people. And we want them to come back to the Lord. Talk about someone that wants to break their ruin their lives. They get involved in alcohol and they get involved in drugs. And you want to rescue them. You want to save them. But sometimes you can't. Or someone betrays you, or they disappoint you, or they hurt you in some way. And you want to take control of that situation, and you can't. Many times you have to wait and say, look, God is the great mender. God is the one who can sew all that back up, and He's the one who can fix it. I give it to you, and I put it in your hands. A lot of times we become broken over our sins. We do things that, man, Most of the time, I'm my own worst enemy. I'm the one who messes things up. It's me. And it's because of my sin. You think about the Apostle Peter, and boy, he said he would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did exactly what he said that he would not do. on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, and as his eyes meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees him, and immediately the rooster crows. And man, you talk about a heavy heart. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly, bitterly, had a broken heart. There was nothing he could do about it until the Lord Jesus Christ came along and he found him. And Jesus Christ forgave him, renewed him, restored him. And then Peter goes out and he preached a great sermon and 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because of the grace of God. Boy, he had a broken heart and he had a broken life, and Jesus mended it. It was the grace of God. Why? Because our God is a great mender. He'll bring it back together. Sometimes our heart breaks because of things, the loss of things, loss of loved ones, health, finances, all of these things. If you have a broken heart here tonight, if you have things that you're worried about and you don't know how to fix it and you don't know what to do, take it to the Lord. Let the Lord mend it up. Let the Lord mend it up, because the Lord promises that he will be with the brokenhearted. He looks at that and he takes note of it. Those who are brokenhearted about their sin or brokenhearted about other people, the Lord is near those people. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. He's not distant. He's not far away. We think about the Apostle Paul, and man, he was going through some things. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. He's got a lot more problems than I did, or I do, or any of us. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because his God was a great mender. His God was able to sew things back up that he couldn't. He was going through trials, and he kept on going. Boy, it's a beautiful thing for us to praise God because of his grace in mending broken hearts and broken lives. Grace not only builds up and it not only binds up, but grace lifts up. We find that in verse number 6. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casteth down, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Our God is not only a great binder and a great mender and a great builder, but he's also a great lifter. He lifts us up. Those who are meek and those who want to be lifted up. Now, different story for the wicked. Boy, he's going to cast them down to the ground and they're going to keep going down. They're not coming back up unless they repent. They're going to find themselves in the depths of hell. They're going to continue down their downward spiral to their final destination. That's where they're going. David said in Psalm 37, he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But what about you here this evening? I don't think anybody would fit into that category. No, we all are believers here tonight. And God is a great lifter up. Boy, once God gets a hold of you, man, it's nothing but upward with the Lord. Boy, it's nothing but goodness. People find themselves down in pits and God gets a hold of them. They get down, they get discouraged. They get to places where they don't have any sunlight. They don't see the end of they can't see the end of the tunnel. They can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They don't see how they can get out of this pit. But yet the Lord is there and he's a great lifter up. We could give illustration after illustration of people who have been down and out and the Lord was there. Joseph, Jeremiah, great prophets of God who preached the Word of God and were persecuted for their faith. And they found themselves down and out and the Lord was there. Why? Because he's a great lifter up. God lifts up his children by his grace. What about the greatest event in history? The greatest event in history was our Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. And you know what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ? He was lifted up as well. He says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He says, I'm fixing to be lifted up on a cross above the earth for all men to see and to be drawn to me. Do you know why he was lifted up? so that you and I could be lifted up as well. So we could be lifted up out of our sins. So we could be lifted up out of the condemnation of our sins. His grace and His atonement made it possible for you and I to now be lifted up. So we in turn are lifted up because of that atonement. We are lifted up to the presence of God. You and I can now praise God and we can now pray to God. Why? Because of that atonement, because of that lifting up of Jesus Christ on the cross. We can now approach God. We can be lifted up out of our sins and lifted up out of our selfishness and our self-centeredness. We are no longer trapped and serving that sin that we once used to. We now have a new master, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is all possible because He was lifted up from the earth. Life gets better with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you find yourself in one of those positions, you find yourself at all odds are against you, and you find yourself in despair, or you find yourself alone and defeated in this world, or discouraged because of the circumstances of life, and you feel like you're a nobody, or you're a failure, or you feel inadequate, you know what I want you to do this evening? I want you to remember some things. I want you to remember what God has done for you and what God has said about you. Because many times our minds will play tricks on us. And we'll start talking to ourselves and saying things about ourselves. And you know what? We do nothing but discourage ourselves. Remember what the Lord has said about you. Remember that you are accepted in the Beloved because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that you are loved by God and accepted by God, and that you are not alone in this world. God is the great lifter up. That's the beauty of praising God. His unmerited, unconditional grace to us. And He does all of this. He lifts us up. He mends our hearts by His great, infinite power and understanding. We read this in verse number 4 and 5. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We serve a God that is powerful enough and has enough understanding to count the stars and feed the birds. You think that He can take care of us as well? Give enough abundant grace to His people to take care of us? I believe that He does. I believe that He can. Do you believe that tonight? Are you engaged in praising the Lord? Because it is really ugly and it is really uncouth and it is really a shame for the creation of God not to utter a word of praise to the Creator. That's an ugly thing. And there is people all over the Portales and the United States and the world, and they're not paying attention to the Lord. Why, the very air that they breathe and the lives that they have are given to them by God, and they would even deny that He exists. That's unseemly. That's not right. Let us, you and I, be engaged in praising the Lord, because that's the fitting thing to do. That's the beautiful thing to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,